Hello, Ra. Thank you for being here.
Oh, my joy, sweet Kate.
And thank you, Empresses, for tuning in. I couldn't be more excited about this conversation because Ra and I have known each other for many years now, actually. I first became aware of you at the first ever reveal, which was in 2010.
I was about to say,
yeah.
Almost 10 years ago. It's amazing.
I've been aware of you for a long time. I sat in on your workshop. You were doing a workshop about abundance at Union Theological Seminary. Remember, like in the cafeteria on the floor?
Yes.
Yeah, it was amazing. Loved it. Okay. And so, and ever since then, I've just been following along. And then recently, just as background for you empresses listening in, Ra and I have started to work together. She has been coaching me and it's been so phenomenal. Like I didn't even know how deep you could go in a very short period of time. Like our one day, 6 hours was like 6 years worth of work, very condensed. So it's very do less. I really appreciate the efficiency. And so thank you. So I would love to know as we get started, the part that I wanted to bring you in to talk about is so many things, but specifically this work around Dharma and purpose and mission. And I am using those things interchangeably. So I just want to, first of all, have you set up the wording and how you identify them so that I'm not messing with the language.
Absolutely. It's interesting because I speak of it as your calling.
Great.
I also speak of it as your Dharma, and I also speak of it as your purpose. And I think, you know, in the context of Dharma, I do bring a very specific definition to that that's really rooted in not just what is it that you're here to do, but that's more rooted in who are you here to be? And how does who you be give you naturally what there is to contribute to the world? And that's really, and you know, sweet Kate, you know this, that's really like the essence of the work that we do. It always begins with, you know, your soul. And in that way in which you, the true you, wants to be expressed in the world.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, let's say you're a business owner. Mm-hmm. You've been at it for a couple years. Maybe you have a coaching, you know, coaching practice or are doing some sort of personal development work. And by the way, you don't have to align with this example. I'm just thinking about the women in our community and this is, you know, and you're doing great work and you're getting good results with your people, but it feels like maybe there's a little something, like maybe you're a little bit lost at sea, a little bit rudderless. And the way it manifests that I see with our women is, there's a lot of questions of like, what course should I launch? Should it be a membership? What's the business model? Should I do a challenge or should I do webinars? What should my opt-in be? So it's a lot of questions that are over here.
Yeah.
And I was sort of oddly in that place when I came to work with you, which people would maybe be surprised about, but I felt right after the publishing of my second book, I was having like a bit of a postpartum hangover. And I really was just felt like I had no idea what I was doing, which is weird. But anyway, that's how I felt. So when that is the case, where do you guide people to start? Because in this world, we can get so caught in the questions of the what.
Yeah.
Can you just talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the work that we do, I developed something called the evangelical or experts model. And this is a perfect conversation for all my coaches out there, my consultants out there, anybody who's thinking about moving thought leadership into the world. And, you know, and you're thinking about your book, your speaking, your coaching, your teaching, right, et cetera. And that is often for me as well, when people come to me, it's all about strategy. You know, it's all about the strategy and it's all about the tactics. And we got to back all the way up. Because in the model, you know, I start with being, which we just talked a little bit about. We define Dharma. Then I go to vision. Then I go to brand. So notice I have two steps below brand, right? So being, vision, brand, then strategy. I should say, no, sorry, then model, then strategy. Then, do you know what I'm saying? Then we get to all the, like, what there is to do. And so I say all of that to say that often when we're playing in the strategic place, there can be a lot of confusion.
Yeah.
Often we see somebody else's thing and we're like, ooh, that looks cool. I should do that. Mm-hmm. Or, ooh, that looks great. I should be that. Or, ooh, but at some point, if we don't come all the way in and back to ground zero of ourselves and ask those fundamental questions about what we're here to do and how we want to express and what we want to contribute to the world, then they're great ideas and some may work and some may not, but I don't know that you'll ever get to the heart of the real fulfillment, which is what I think we're most looking for, mm-hmm. you know, is to feel excited and to feel like we're really making a difference in whatever it is that we're choosing to do, whether that's online or live, right, et cetera.
Yeah. So for you, I know that you came from a music background, and I actually don't know what you did before the music piece, so you're welcome to share whatever you feel is relevant or that you feel called to share. But like, how did you find your calling?
Yeah, you know, I like to describe myself as this sort of change of life baby that was born into this intersection of civil rights and hip hop. And, you know, for me, both kind of cultures or both movements have deeply influenced my calling and who I am. And I've always been committed to liberation and empowerment and freedom. And so no matter what form it's taken, whether it's my life as an artist or my life as an activist or my life as a not-for-profit leader or my life as a corporate consultant, you know, like I said, I've had many lives. My purpose of really igniting people and liberating people to the truth of who they are has always been at the center. And for me, it's important to say that because sometimes I think people get purpose and occupation confused.
Yes.
Right? You know, so I have 27 ideas and I'm like, yes. And at the heart of them is all about unleashing people to live healthier, more activated lives. Or, you know what I'm saying? So there's a process often when people have, you know, idea diarrhea.
Yes.
Or lack of idea. I know the visuals not fly on that, but you know, when they have all kinds of ideas, it's like, what's the core impulse that's driving? And our ability to tap into the core impulse that's driving, which is often the way that they most want to be expressed in the world, which is about their highest contribution. And that can be broad, yet very specific in terms of how we articulate it, right? Like connecting people to their greatness, creating a world where more people are healthy, happy, and vibrant. But then that can manifest itself through so many different vehicles and so many different channels. And that's the thing to get clear about.
And do you think that there are people, so can we talk a little bit more about the difference between your occupation and your purpose? And is it okay if they're not the same?
Yeah, it's interesting because I would say that you're, in my mind, the way that I see success and the way that I experience success and the way that I've seen success manifest in others is through that alignment with your vision and your mission and your purpose, right? So if your occupation isn't aligned with your purpose, you may be good at it. You may be knocking it out the park. You may be stacking a lot of change, but you may not be feeling physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally fulfilled. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll have you kind of checking all the boxes, but something still feels like it's missing. Mm-hmm. And I find there are many people who have that kind of success, you know, and they're afraid to move away from it because it's like, well, this is not broke, right? So I don't want to mess with it. But at the same time, there's this deep challenge in that there's not the level of fulfillment that they desire. And so sometimes you can become a prisoner to your own success, you know, and I define success very, very differently. But if we go with the standard definition of success, you know, the fancy house, the great car, the wonderful shoes, ladies, you know how we do. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can become a prisoner to that. It's working. I'm doing six-figure launches. Why would I want to mess with that, right? And so this question of occupation and purpose is really important to distinguish and get clear about, because like I said, your purpose can live through many different quote-unquote occupations, or it can move through many different channels or many different vehicles. And often when people are in their purpose and squarely in their purpose, they feel connected. So you want to do a book, you want to launch a course, you want to lead a retreat, but the heart of the content and the heart of the difference you want to make are the same. Mm-hmm. They're just different ways of expressing your message or different ways of expressing your leadership.
So something that I struggled with, and I know women in our community do as well, is that articulation. Like, I've always known I was living on purpose-ish. You know, right. Things worked, they resonated, right. Material came through, I delivered right. It helps people. So all that was working, financially successful. Yeah. And I really did feel rudderless because I will say, like, I think this is just the classic experience of, you know, what we're not up on, we tend to be down on, which is basically I had not articulated my purpose or my dharma. And so I just was like, who needs that? Which is so, you know, I was just like, no. And when people would talk about purpose, I was resistant to it and I was not interested. And then of course, you know, when we're ready. And I saw you at that gig in Boston and it was like the arrow of desire. I was like, yep, she's my person, you know? And so that was amazing. And I really trust that timing. And what if you haven't articulated your purpose? What if it feels slippery, gray, vague? Where do you start?
Yeah, it's a great, great question. You know, I come back always to the being. Like, who are you? Void of the titles. You know, and I've done exercises where I've brought people together for a half day and I said, okay, you get to introduce yourself without using titles. And it has been hard, you know, because we're so accustomed to identifying ourselves in proximity to other things that are in the external world, you know. But the first place we got to go is like, who are you without all the titles, without all the, you know, just like when you show up in a room, what's present? Oh, joy. Oh, love. Oh, creativity. Oh, power. Oh, grace. And your ability to define those terms, those essences and qualities on your terms is also important because the way that you define power may be very different than the way that somebody else defines power. And so in our work, we drill, and I say our work and Move the Crowd, right? We drill down to the thumbprint. Like, what is that unique way that you define you? What is that unique combination of qualities or essences or characteristics that you bring? And we begin there. And then we look at your journey. So as someone who's carrying all of these things, what parts of you are expressed and what parts of you maybe are not as expressed, right? And like, when you look at your journey, what have been those pivotal or defining moments that you believe have shaped you? You know, and sometimes we go as far back as, you know, birth to as recent as, okay, the last 24 hours, you know, because we're always evolving and changing. And I say that it always, you know, we're always integrating new experiences and new insights that bring us, I think, to the truth of ourselves, right? You know, have heard this saying, which I love, that your soul, I know you all really, really wild, racy visual analogies, but your soul is a whore for evolution. You know what I'm saying? And there's something like, it just wants to keep growing and growing and growing and growing. And your ability to tap into that aspiration and that desire and be driven by that, as opposed to the external keeping up with the Joneses or the Janeses aspiration or desire, gives you a very different experience, gives you a very different quality of life, and also gives you a very different level of capacity to move things in the world that you feel passionate about. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we got to tap that well, and the work that we do is all about tapping that well, like taking you back to ground zero and reconnecting you and reacquainting you with the truth of who you really are.
Mm-hmm. Now, you speak about, I'm going to mess it up, but you have a thing that you say about being true.
Stay true.
Stay true.
Get paid. Do good.
Okay. So what I'd like to talk about is that intersection of the three. So important. And it struck me, my absolute favorite class in college was a course called Entrepreneurship and Good Work, which I had shared with you in our VIP day. And I had this professor, and the hypothesis of the class was, is it possible to do work you love, get well paid, and do good in the world? And it was so cool when I realized, like, oh, this is what you like. Yeah. A yes. And B, this is exactly what you do. So it's just so cool. You know, now almost however, I don't know how long I've been out of college, but it's been a long time. So can you talk about the intersection and, what those three things are, and like how being on purpose can impact our ability to get paid and do good, and why, you know, like why they're all connected.
Yeah. So I come back to now this definition of success. And I define success as a function of alignment. And what it means for me is really being true to, excuse me.
You need some tea?
I was about to say, just give me 2 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. Take your pause. That's great. I'll have a beverage as well.
Really being true to your vision, your mission, and your purpose. Now I'm going to define those, right? So your vision is really about what's important to you, what matters to you. It's your values, and it's what you value. And it's the way that what you value guides how you show up in the world and how you live your life, right? And so we describe that as how you live, right? Your mission is about what you're here to do. And it's really driven by the unique combination of your talents, your gifts, and your abilities. And the key word is unique combination, because no one has the combination that you have in the way that you have it, right? Like your values and then the combination of your talents is a very distinct formula. This is where we get to the thumbprint, the uniqueness, right? And so first of all, you lining up with living a life and showing up in the world in a way that's consistent with what you say matters is step one, right? Step two, right? That's the stay true. Step two, the get paid, is about how you leverage the unique combination of talents, gifts, and abilities into a proposition that you offer into the marketplace that equates to then the compensation that you, in other words, this is what you're here to bring to the party. And as a result of you bringing what it is that you're here to bring, the compensation is the natural outgrowth of that. The money naturally flows from that, right? We call that how you love, right? And you think about Khalil Gibran, right? That love, right? Work is love made visible. And the more that we're offering from a place of love, the greater opportunity we have to reap the kinds of profitability that we desire in all of the ways, whether that's resources, whether that's financial, right? Straight up money, whether that's the kind of relationships we seek to have that enable us to have access to the kinds of opportunities to grow and deliver on what we believe we're here to do. So your alignment with that is sort of the second piece, right? And then the third piece, which is your purpose, which is what we call how you lead, right? Which is also your do good, is about what you're here to affect in the world. In what way are you leveraging your talents to make an impact on the things that you're passionate about, right? And that connects to your values as well, right? So now everything's being leveraged in how you contribute your energy, your time, your essence, your presence, right? When all of those things are in true alignment, like you're plugged in, you're tapped in to all of those elements, success is inevitable. Inevitable. Now, here's what's the even better news about that. When you're in alignment, everything gets 10 times easier. So the striving, the struggling, y'all hear what I mean? The grinding, right? That we all know very, very, very well, starts to disappear and give way to something that feels more elegant, more seamless, more flow oriented, right? And so you're still having ideas and motivations. You're still doing the course or creating the speech or writing the book, but you're on fire now because you're not fighting with the truth of what wants to be expressed through you. You know, you're not resisting the book now. You're not resisting the course, right? Because your logical mind, your logical conditioned mind will take you to the left, and spirit, God, alignment, universe, source, creativity, love, whatever you want to call it, will keep saying to you, go right. Mm-hmm. And you will let your logic override your truth, and hence the struggle.
Mm-hmm. I could hear you, I could listen to you talk about how alignment creates more ease forever. It's just like,
because you are the goddess of do less. You want to talk about do less, get aligned. You want to talk about success, like done deal, get aligned.
Get aligned. Yeah. So, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and when we get aligned, then the work, stay in alignment.
Mm-hmm.
Make choices that honor what you know is true for you. When you are aligned, those choices, they may not be easy, but they're simple, if that makes sense. You know.
I do. So, okay. So do you mind if I ask you a little bit personally about, okay, so you are ramping up with this book launch. Can you show us the cover of the book? Okay.
So this is the galley. This cover is a bright, brilliant yellow, but this is the book.
This is the book. So it's called The Calling. Three
fundamental shifts to stay true, get paid, and do good.
Okay.
And I know it's real hard to see with this white cover.
Thank you. Okay, perfect. Thank you for the close-up because the shiny lettering we couldn't see. Okay, so you can go pre-order that book now.
Yes.
And or depending on when you're listening to this, you could probably just order it. It depends. Yes. I don't know, but go to Amazon and all the places.
Amazon is your friend.
Yeah. And and you also work behind the scenes and in front of the scenes, you know, with a lot of folks. And I have zero doubt that you have endless opportunities and people knocking at your door wanting you to do stuff because you're brilliant. And even just the request to come be a Maven Masterclass, the form that you have in place for interview and speaking requests was deeply inspiring to me. We're creating one inspired by yours because I was like, oh my God, look at all the questions you have to answer just to get on Ra's calendar. Like, holy shit, this is a woman who values her time. So I'm up leveling just from that. So I want to know, what are some things that you do in your daily life on a personal level, but also within your company that you have in place to ensure that you stay in alignment as you grow and expand?
Yeah, that's a great question. So you know, the framework that I walked you through is something we at Move the Crowd call an L3. An L3 declaration, how you live, how you love, how you lead. And Kate knows this because she got one.
I'm still working on it, but it's, I think about, I read it every day.
Every entrepreneur, every member of our team has an L3. And we have a live, love, lead declaration, and we read it. We also have a team vision. And before every meeting, I don't care if it's marketing, programming, doesn't matter, event, whatever it is, the meeting always opens with some portion of the team vision that whoever is facilitating that meeting chooses. And so people get to decide what aspect of the team vision resonates with them at any given point in time, and they guide the check-in for the rest of the team. So everybody that works within the context of Move the Crowd in our larger ecosystem, as well as in our core team, knows that this is a very intentional culture. You know, that this is a live, love, lead culture, that this is a stay true, get paid, do good culture, and that we do not begin unless we're checking in and aligning around who we are and what it is that we're here to do. You know, and that could be 2 seconds. It doesn't have to be long and drawn out. For me, every morning in prayer, meditation, yoga, I'm tapping in, I'm connecting to my purpose. I'm spending time with my source. You know what I mean? Even before I get to like my planner and my to-do list, that comes, but I start with, for me, it's God. I start with God. And then everything else will flow from that. Having those practices, and I know what it is to be crazy busy. You know, and I say to you all, it isn't even about the length of time. If you touch it for 30 seconds, just if you come with the intention of like, I'm going to ground in what's important to me today. And then you let the rest of your day flow. You will have a very different day than if you don't touch in, you know. People talk to me all the time, Kate, about how hard it is to get those practices in, especially my mom is out there. It's hard because the kids are waking you up sometimes, right? Depending on how big or small, you know, they're waking you up or they're in the bed, you know, already before you can even start the day they've started it
for. Or they're on your boob.
You understand what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
So finding that time. So I said to my mom, is lock yourself in the bathroom.
Totally.
And even while you're brushing your teeth, have your declarations in front of you and just check in. Take that moment, you know, to brush your teeth, pee, you know what I'm saying, before you get the rest of the world coming at you. And we have to guard that time. Mm-hmm. It's hard, I know, but we have to guard it because when you're in alignment, the guidance becomes so much clearer. And I feel like so much of what people are listening for, often people come to me for, it's the guidance. And
yes.
What I believe I teach you how to do is listen, is get tapped in, is to find the stream. Once you find the stream, you start to begin to develop the practice of listening to the stream, then it becomes really clear. Oh, this book. Oh, that course. Oh, that meeting. Oh, call so-and-so. Oh, text so-and-so. And your logical mind slows down so it doesn't have a chance to override what you're being guided to do. You feel me? And that's the dance, you all the time. Yeah. That's the dance. And our opportunity, if we really are committed to massive impact, we're really committed to massive profitability, really committed to moving our message in the world and realizing our full potential, is to learn how to listen and follow guidance. Mm-hmm. And that begins with being tapped in.
Thank you. So good. Okay. When we were in Boston, somebody asked a question from the audience about accessibility of work, making our work accessible. And you said something to different, you know, different types of folks. You said something, and I don't know if you remember this, but it was about giving people you used the word the dignity, yes, of paying for things. And I know this is not one of the questions that I sent to you, but you speak about it so beautifully about the importance of payment for things and the context of making our work accessible, but also getting paid for it. So do you mind just riffing on that?
Absolutely. It's incredibly important. You know, any work that we do with other people is a partnership. And when we come into partnership, it's critical that the energy is matched. Now, we can, you know, talk about whether that's in a price, a particular price point, or, but none of us wants to engage in relationships where we're doing it all. Mm. And we're doing it all. And we're having it all. Do you know what I mean? And so for people, because I do get this question a lot, for people who want to work with communities or populations or audiences, maybe they feel like can't afford a super high level program. You can create lower priced options, but there still needs to be an alignment between your effort and what you're charging, right? So maybe it's not the one-on-one thing, maybe it's the group thing, maybe it's the digital thing, but there's a way that your investment and the energy that you've invested is met by the energy with which the people who are engaging you are bringing to the relationship. And I know, I'm going to say this out loud because it's important. It's bigger than whether they buy it. We want them to do the work. And I do want to say that out loud because we're a stickler in our work that you do the work. I don't need your money. If that's what you didn't feel what I'm saying, like it's not about the sales transaction. My purpose for being is about the transformation and the work that we get to do together. And the way that you get to grow in your magnificence and I get to bear witness and grow through bearing witness to you coming into your magnificence. That's the high for me. And if that's not happening, you all hear what I'm saying. And so this aligning of energy is important, right? I have had people who've done our work where they've had to do payment plans that are, you know, almost like a dollar a day. Mm-hmm. And I will show up world class for those people because I know that the energetic investment of whatever it's taking for them to generate that dollar a day combined with showing up to do the corresponding work is what they got. They're bringing their best to that equation, right? Versus somebody who can write me a check in advance and who never makes a call on time and ain't got the homework. And y'all, holla if you hear me, ladies. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I love empresses. I love that. I got goddesses, I got beloveds, and I got empresses. I love that. Holla if you hear me. So this conversation of dignity in the exchange becomes important because when you start to create the criteria for who you want to work with, and every single one of us needs to have criteria beyond demographic and psychographic analysis. I'm not mad at avatar work. However, in your avatar, explanation or description ought to be temperament, ought to be spirit of generosity, ought to be a sense of dignity and commitment, ought to be an understanding of the investment. Y'all hear what I'm saying? These things that sometimes we don't value until we get clients that show up without them. That kind of no matter what you give, it's not enough. And you already know you've gone well above and beyond whatever it was that they've invested in the program. So the dignity comes when the energy is matched. Mm-hmm. And in my experience, there isn't a lot of dignity in creating relationships where you're doing everything and the client is doing nothing. Everybody's got to have skin in the game.
Right.
There's another level of appreciation that becomes available when we have skin in the game together. We're all risking something, our time, our energy, our effort, our money, our expertise, right? Whatever it is. You've worked hard to acquire whatever it is that you've acquired to be able to deliver your offerings. And it's your responsibility to value that, mm-hmm. to value the love you bring and to invite others to value the love you bring too. And then you get to value the love that they bring because there's nothing I think that inspires us more when we see our clients working for it. You know, we see those breakthroughs happening. We see those insights happening. That's what I believe we're here for. The money facilitates it. It makes it easier. But at the end of the day, what we're interested in is the breakthroughs and the transformation and the opportunity to express our genius and our wisdom and be seen, heard, felt, and received, and vice versa.
That's beautiful. From a nitty-gritty perspective, what are some of the things, you know, like, let's, for example, with your digital programs, what's something that you've put in place to encourage that transformation, given the fact that you aren't necessarily sitting right there with the person? And, you know, the completion rate on digital programs is really crazy low. 3%. So I'm just curious, what is it?
3%.
3%. Yes, crazy low, you know, and it's just like, what's going on there? And so I would imagine you have a creative, insightful way of dealing with this, given who you are.
We've been talking a lot about it internally. It's interesting. And we're kind of newer to the digital game, right? And so we're, you know, kind of on the court learning. But what we've learned from having led various kinds of programs is a couple of things. One is the sense of community. So even in a digital context, people are thirsting for community. And so a lot of people typically will do, okay, I've got a Facebook group. But the Facebook group is a ghost town.
Right.
Right. Listen, we had to learn, y'all. So I'm guilty as charged. We had to learn, right, how to really develop incredible engagement in a Facebook group where it doesn't necessarily need to be you all of the time, but you're stoking the fire and inviting and encouraging and giving license to others to do, to engage. We learned that providing really clear guidelines for how to engage in the group helped people, because people wanted to engage, but they didn't know. And so at some point, sometimes it just becomes some buy my thing, and then people tune out. So this opportunity to really talk about, listen, you want to be sharing insights, you want to be sharing breakthroughs, you want to be sharing awesome resources, you want, so giving people a sort of 5-point system for how to engage. We also lean in and engage regularly. We're posting, and you guys, you can schedule this, right?
Oh,
we're
posting,
we're stoking, where I give homework, and people know this, anybody that's in our programs. So we're also checking in on your homework, and we're checking in on the insights related to your homework. Another thing that we've added to all of our digital programs, y'all can steal this, buddies. So we invite and encourage an ecosystem where our participants in all of our programs now have buddies. And those buddies get assignments as buddies. So the likelihood that you're gonna finish a homework assignment is higher if you know you got a buddy call on Thursday than if you're left to your own devices.
Yeah.
And those are some of the things that we build in terms of engagement.
I apologize if this is too much of a minutia question, but I love minutia.
Go.
Like with the buddies, do you just choose those at random, or is someone on your team like thinking about location or affinity?
We select internally.
Okay, great.
Yes, we do select. And I've done self-select, and then we've done ones where we've paired and partnered. Because often people don't know each other, we can partner. And we do the kind of intake when anyone signs up for our courses, where we get that intel about what people are up to. Sometimes it may be looking at geography, location. Sometimes it may be looking at a stage of development. Are they beginner? Are they intermediate? Are they pro? Sometimes what they're up to. Synergy. Sometimes we also look at people's bios and their backgrounds. Like, oh, that's interesting. That could be a really beautiful combination. Honestly, I will say to you, I think God sorts it all out, because it's been incredible the way that people lean into each other and fall in love with each other and engage and well beyond our programs, continue to engage and be in relationship with one another. But that's typically what we
do. So you do and buddies rather.
Agreement that they both sign.
An agreement, so
We form, like, it's for us, it's a thing.
It's a thing.
We formalize it. So you have temporary agreements, all that good stuff. So that everybody feels, again, that the energy is, they're being equally met.
Yeah, great. I love this so much. Okay, so in our last couple of minutes, I just want to make sure that I went through what I actually planned to ask you. Oh, here's one. So once you've articulated your purpose, and let's say you have this, you have your purpose and Dharma, your L3, you know, I've got my L3, and then I'm also clear on my mission, and those are, you know, and but like then when you turn it into a team vision or a company thing, right? It's one that's personal because, like, you know, we've talked about that you want to get it so it makes you cry, or it, you know, it gives you chills, or you're having some kind of like deep connection. And I feel that with mine. But then like, I feel like I'll read company mission statements and they're very like, and so how do you make sure that your purpose mission doesn't become snore-worthy and instead like ignites you, your team, your customers in some way?
Yeah, just as we have a framework for your personal live, love, lead, we have a framework for your company live, love, lead.
Great.
Absolutely do. And in the framework for your company live, love, lead, your live is about your culture and the values and what you value, what you say is important as a company culture.
Great.
Your love is about your innovation. What you bring as a company, this is your value proposition, your core offering, what lives at the center of the things that you develop and offer to the marketplace. And then, of course, how you lead is continually about your purpose and your impact and the way that you want to impact not just your individual clients, but the way you want to impact your industry, the way you want to impact the planet. Mm-hmm. Those are all part and parcel of what gets articulated in your company, L3.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Okay. Thank you. That's a great clarifier. And then can your mission change over time, or do you think it's like you pop out of the womb and it's the same the whole time?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think they evolve. I think your mission evolves as you grow and evolve because you gain more skills, you gain more knowledge, you gain more expertise, you connect with more gifts. As you grow older, there's certain things that you see about yourself that you didn't see. What I think remains constant is the core impulse that drives your purpose, the core impulse that drives your gap. You know, if you come out the womb being about empowerment, typically, no matter what you do, right from the cradle to the grave, it's going to be about, on some level, it will be about empowerment, right? So that core impulse, I believe, stays consistent, though it expresses itself and can express itself 100 different ways. I think your mission evolves as you evolve. I think your values evolve as you evolve, right? And some of it is about coming back to and reclaiming, right, what was always there. And some of it is about, through new experiences, through your own evolution and growth, adopting new perspectives, new insights, new aspirations for how you want to show up and be in the world. But I think that core impulse that really sort of moves through your highest contribution, I think that that's a constant heartbeat.
So you just got to find it.
Yeah. And you know, and like, no shame in the game. Have fun along the way. For some of us, we do drop out the womb and it's clear. Yeah. You know, Jane Goodall knew from a very young age, it was wildlife for her. That's what it was. You know what I mean? Others of us, you know, Samuel Jackson didn't find his purpose until he was 42 years old. You know what I mean? And so it's different for all of us. And so part of it is being willing to be on the journey, you know, not kind of caught up in calling our purpose anxiety.
Right. Because that can just become another checkbox, right? Or now they're striving. Oh my God, I have to find my purpose.
Another reason to turn yourself inside out. Let's not do that.
Okay, great.
You know, the key is to develop the ability to get still, to develop the deeper connection to that inner world that exists within each of us, and to learn how to start to listen. You know, I talk about big C, little C. I talk about big P, little P. You may start by being purposeful before you get to your purpose, you know, right? You may start by being intentional before you get to your calling. And to know that those little impulses, the more that actually you follow those breadcrumbs, the bigger the voice will get, the stronger the guidance will get, the deeper the clarity will get, you know, especially as you're doing those practices that enable you to plug in and stay plugged in throughout the course of the day.
That's perfect. That is the most perfect place to complete. Okay. So where can people connect with you? When is the book launching exactly?
Yes. So two things. So one is you can reach us at movethecrowd.m as in Mary, E as in Eric, like move me, movethecrowd.me is where you can find us. The book. So everything I talked about today, the blueprint, in the book. So I want to say, if you're like, I don't know if I can come see you right yet, $25 is yours. And I will make sure that Kate, we have the link for you. Because also we have an insider club with other bonuses and all that good stuff that we want to give access to, but it is available for pre-order now on Amazon. The book launches January 21st, 2020. Sounds like it's a long time away, but I swear to you all. Yeah. I'm looking and I'm going, what? But I wrote this to be comprehensive. And it is the closest experience to working with me. Like, you know, again, for those who may not be in a position where you can lean in and have that one-on-one attention or that small group attention, get the book, start working with the book. If you come into the Insider Club, you'll be able to get me behind the scenes as well as additional content that supports what you're going to get in the book when it comes in January.
Okay, amazing. And you have given us so much in this masterclass, and also below the masterclass empresses is a takeaway guide. So you can go through and just really sit with the material. There are action steps in here to last you until the book comes out, for sure. Okay. So, and make sure you go to the link below the video to pre-order. And movethecrowd.me. So Ra, I love you. This is so valuable. Thank you for the work that we've done together. Thank you for sharing your brilliance with our women.
Thank you for your work, Kate, all the lives that you touch. And, you know, to your beloveds out there, thank you for your work. And we need you. Please keep showing up. Please be vigilant about what it is that you know that you're here to do. Because now is the time. Now is your time. For sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.